Hey, Lucas, want to hear a joke?
Sure, man.
Why don't scientists trust atoms?
I'm not sure.
Because they make up everything.
Ah, that's good.
Get it?
I'm really trying to, like, answer these right, too. And
Is it not on your sheet?
It is, but I'm not looking.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, let me see if I can figure this joke out.
You couldn't figure that one out.
I didn't.
They make up everything, I don't think bro. I've, yeah. How can you trust somebody that makes things up?
Liars.
Lying sons of bitches.
You're listening to the Faster Freedom Show, hosted by us, Sam Prim
and Lucas Walls.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Lucas.
And Lucas, we have an episode of all episodes. This is very timely for what we're doing in our businesses. And I feel like this is, we're taking somebody else's work, we're plagiarizing it and making it better, and somebody that's very talented. So we're going to talk about Gary Keller's book, The One Thing. Specifically, we're going to talk about the 6 lies holding you back. So Gary Keller, super smart, very articulate, did a ton of research in this book, and we're going to take his hard work and we're going to do our best to not butcher it and explain our reasons behind the 6 lies that hold people back.
Yeah, and our take on the 6 lies. And we're reading it right now as a leadership team, not even through the entire book, but we are through this section of the book. So excited to dig in.
Well, we both, I feel like, read the book.
We read the book about 5 years ago, and kind of we've read so many books since then, I completely forgot.
I remember the song at the beginning and then a couple of points. I'm like getting a little bit of deja vu as we're reading this. But I like you, did not know I read it.
Yep.
All right, and then we're going to riddle me this. I'm going to stump Lucas. He's a good sport, and he usually... What are you bad about? What, a 50%? No, 30%. You get one right, you get one way wrong, and then one you say the right answer, but it's not the right answer.
Well, I would call that like a walk then.
Okay.
So I'm batting like 500.
You're a Hall of Famer, bro.
I know. I am. Unriddle me this.
All right. And then we're going to play Would You Rather, and then we're going to get you all pumped up for this motivational moon day.
Let's go.
Whoa.
That was loud. I know. Sorry, guys.
Hopefully in post we can slow that down a little bit. That,
let's go. Like that? Slow down?
Soften.
Soften.
Not slow down. Your Celsius is kicked in.
I just feel great.
Good. I like it. You've been sick for a while.
I had like 2 sips of your Celsius. It wasn't even that much.
It was probably a third of it.
All right.
Okay. All right. So, Lucas, why don't you explain a little bit of, I think it's cool to talk about our book club and our leadership team, and then we'll get into one thing, and then we'll get into the 6 lies, because they are both, they're interesting. I agree with most of them, and they're eye-opening for sure.
Yeah. So we do weekly team meetings with all of the divisions of our company, and we do a book club usually. We all read a book together, usually a chapter a week, give or take. We read it on our own, and then come back in that weekly meeting and discuss, you know, what we liked about it, what we didn't like, what we agree with, what we don't agree with, what we can take away from that, and really just spend, you know, 15 minutes discussing and digging in and trying to evolve and grow and get better as both leaders and people, and get our business better as well too. So this book that we're reading this time is The One Thing by Gary Keller, Sam said. And it's got a really cool, like, practical approach, but it also is, like, kind of big picture, too, which is interesting to me. So this section that we're going to talk about today is part 1 of the book, I believe, and it's the 6 lies holding you back. And we're going to discuss each of those 6 lies and kind of dig into them a little bit. But those 6 lies are, Sam, you want to talk about them?
Yeah, let's give a little suspense. We're going to do them one at a time.
Ooh.
The first lie is everything matters equally. The lie that is, if you treat all tasks as equally important, none are important. So we're going to talk about the truth in a little bit, but it's an interesting concept, as if you treat everything the same and everything matters equally, that's not true. Obviously, there's certain things, certain tasks, certain skills, certain things you can do that should matter more or that have a bigger impact on your day. So why are you treating them all the same? A lot of this, I believe, is on like the list of, you know, you create a to-do list, and if you don't prioritize it, your to-do is to get up, get dressed, make coffee, drive to, like, if like none of that matters as equally as going, like, just example, kind of cool thing, like going on the Bigger Pockets podcast, I've been on a few times. Like, that's more important than me having coffee. I shouldn't treat them the same, right?
Right. Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, a lot of this, it kind of reminds me of our last episode we did, where we talked about prioritizing, you know, family, finance, and fun. Gosh, I like those 3 Fs there. And if you treat them all
equal.
There's
one more F you can add in there, too.
Tell me about it.
Nope. My mom listens to this episode.
Freedom?
Podcast. Yes, freedom.
Faster? Freedom. Two Fs.
There you go.
I could give two Fs. All right. So, getting
Tyler
my
said,
mind.
Stop making jokes in this segment.
I'm trying. So if I treated those three things equal, they would all probably suffer in a way, right? So now, because we prioritize them, we can attack them differently and have success in all three of them. Because I'm not, we'll get to that in a second, but prioritizing. So Sam, you talked about a to-do list, and when we think of what is a successful day, sometimes we have a big ass to-do list and we go through and check a whole bunch of shit off. And then at the end of the day, we're like, gosh, I just feel like it wasn't a good day, or I didn't have a lot of big wins today. That's because you're not prioritizing what you need to be done. So just little things like renaming it to-do list to success list. Like what are the things I need to do today, or one thing I need to do today and accomplish before to call this day a success, not just a whole bunch of little things that don't matter, and focus on that one thing until completion and then move on to the next one.
So the truth behind it is that Pareto's principle, that 80-20 rule, yeah, that 80% of
results
come from 20% of your focus and effort. And that's very true. Like this perfect example is when I was in sales, I had 1,000 customers or whatever at first in one area. But I mean, there's the 15 or 20, so it was way less than 80-20, but there's those core that you focus on that are going to drive most of your business. And while you need to control those, if you want to do more, you can expand out. But if you don't focus on the core, that 20%, that 10%, that 5%, you're not really going to get any results.
Yep.
You're not going to be very efficient.
It's crazy how true that principle is to so many different aspects of life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's a great example of what you just said.
Cool.
So everything matters equally. Lie number one that is holding you back.
What is lie number two?
Lie number two
is an interesting one.
Yeah, I almost went into it last time, but I was like, I gotta stop.
Is that what you did?
No, hold it.
Hold it and squeeze the cheeks.
All right. Lie number two is multitasking.
Yes. Why is it a lie, Lucas?
Why is it a lie? Why is it a lie? So the lie, real quick.
He didn't like that question.
No, I was like, why is it a lie? We'll get there. That multitasking is an effective way to get things done. You know, we see a lot of this stuff, and we heard this from a team member the other day. Like, they see all this stuff on social media. Like, the more I can get done at once, the more I'll be successful. And the truth is, multitasking can reduce productivity by up to 40%, and that source is the American Psychological Association.
Yeah, so the
APA.
APA, the APizzle. We talked about this a little bit in the book, cites a lot of sources and like data and studies that say you're doing multiple things, you're not doing anything well. You do something, you do another thing, the time it takes you to go back and do that original thing and like get to the same point and momentum you were at is just super inefficient. It is the point. You're extremely inefficient, or you're not doing things well. And I think, it might have said the average person spends it might have been even like more than an hour or two a day like readjusting from multitasking.
I think
like
it is, yeah.
Trying to get back to that same efficiency level that they were at when they gave the task up to move on to something else. So this one is tricky because I 100% agree with it, but I have trouble with it. I feel like I'm decent at focusing on one thing at a time, but I have like 15 browsers up. But I'm not like going from browser to browser. It's just up, and maybe it's good because it makes me more efficient. I don't have to like find it or search it, but I feel like I probably multitask a little bit more than I should, but I'm not like one of those guys that like multitask too many things.
Yeah, and I think, it doesn't mean you can't get multiple things done. It's just that when you have one thing, the one thing to get done, see it from start to completion. And if it's too big of a thing to see from start to completion, break it down into smaller steps so you can have little wins along the way, and then get that done and then switch as quickly as possible. And you'll be able to switch quicker to the next thing when that one thing is done and out of your mind, it's not still lingering, and then focus on that thing to completion. Boom, switch, boom, next one. So you can still get a lot of stuff done, but it's not trying to do little pieces of everything all at once.
Yeah, and this is, and I guess the interesting part to me was, and I think our boy T. York brought this up in the meeting, that multitasking came from like computers and like being able to do tasks at once and like processing and chips and all that technical lingo. So it came from like a computer program type of terminology, not from people. People aren't computers.
Yeah, and I think even those processing chips weren't able to multitask from what I remember, right? It was those had to switch back and forth as well. They weren't able to both.
He was laughing at my alien joke, but yes, I believe you're correct, Lucas. Okay. All right, what is, or I'll do lie number three.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's one of my favorites.
A disciplined life. The lie is that discipline is key to success. The truth is habits and routines are more powerful in achieving long-term goals than solely relying on discipline. Because, yeah, this one will probably be one of our longer ones. We can break this one down quite a bit.
Yeah, so a lot of people think I got to be disciplined to do this and this and this. And really, that's super taxing, and it's not necessarily true either. What this book says, and what I we've talked about this like since I can remember too, about just forming the habit, and mm-hmm. and all you have to do is be disciplined long enough for the habit to form. And this book says it's 66 days, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'd be usually 66. You're right. Well, yeah, it's like 25 to 200 or something. But average, this book claims, yeah. And it depends on the task is 66.
And it depends
days.
On the person, right?
Yes.
So, you know, 2 or 3 months, you discipline enough to do a habit that's for 2 or 3 months. I'm sorry, to do a task for 2 or 3 months, and it will become a habit. And once it becomes a habit, you don't need discipline anymore. Yeah, it's just part of your
much.
Life.
Yeah. And the interesting part about this was it's like your discipline, or no, that's the willpower.
They are kind of similar.
Very similar. But
hey, teaser alert.
Teaser alert. So yeah, the discipline. So I think most people like they think or they know they're not disciplined enough to be able to do something and do it well, so they don't even try. But if they look at it as short bursts of discipline, which again, this one kind of bleeds into the next one, so maybe these next two will be pretty long combined. But having, you don't need to be able to be disciplined for 5 years to do something. You just need to focus on being disciplined in the short run long enough and focused in the right direction so that they become habits. Because when they're habits, just a little bit of discipline is needed.
Yeah, you need those small wins and breaking it up into bite-sized pieces. So your goal is, I always use working out as a analogy or example because I think it's just a super relatable topic for everybody. Like your goal is to, you know, be physically fit and to feel good and to lose weight or to shed fat, whatever it is, right? A big part of that is exercising consistently. Would you mm-hmm. agree with that, Sam?
Correct, I would.
So how do you start exercising consistently, just continuing to break that down? Because a lot of people look at, oh my gosh, I want to get here or feel this way, and it's just overwhelming, so they never start. Mm-hmm. So just continuing to break that down to itsy-bitsy pieces. I need to move my body, you know, 3 to 5 days a week and break a sweat. How do I do that? And then when can I do that? I'm gonna wake up, you know, 20 minutes earlier these 4 days a week, right? And then I can, and then just start setting your alarm. The first habit is wake up earlier these 4 days. And then the next habit might be, you know, I start walking these 4 days. I start walking. And then you can build on that. I start running. And then I start a HIIT program or more intense exercises. So if you break it down to bite-sized pieces and form a small habit, be disciplined enough to form a small habit, you're able to either build on that habit or switch gears and be disciplined on something else to start a new habit.
Yeah, I think another part of that is you do it that way, Lucas, and you set yourself up for success. If you're out of shape and overweight and you say, I'm going to get up 6 days a week and I'm going to run for 10 miles, you're not going to, most likely you're not going to do that because that is your expectation. That's how you're trying to bite the whole thing. So if you do
too
it
much.
A little bit at a time, work your way towards it, then you're much more likely to be successful. And then you will maybe get up 6 days a week and run however long, but you just don't need to start off with that.
Small wins and small create wins. That small win. And then you can shift, like for the example, like you said, like start with 20 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day, heck. And then you could go to 20 minutes, like once that habit's formed, go to 30 minutes, whatever that looks like to, or you're like, okay, what's the other part of getting healthy? And then you can start forming the eating healthy habits as well and be disciplined to eat healthy until that's just part of your life too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that's a big part of discipline, right? Like, don't eat that pizza or don't eat that extra fifth cookie or whatever, cookie. Right? Like, of course that's hard. But if it's just part of your life and you've done it for long enough, it doesn't take as much discipline.
Don't eat the whole bag of gummy bears, just half the bag of gummy bears.
Yes, share with me.
Yes, exactly.
When we're watching Oppie.
Don't drink the whole Celsius. Give the third to Lucas. All right. So this one, they kind of tie together. The next one, Lucas, why don't you introduce? I believe we're going back and forth.
Yeah. So the fourth lie that's holding you back is willpower is always on will call, which is obviously a lie. Believing that willpower is an infinite source is the lie. And the truth is willpower is finite and can be depleted.
This one might have been my favorite.
Well, yeah. Well, if it's your favorite, then yeah, it does tie into the one a little bit, but... you know, everybody feels this throughout the day, right? You can feel your tank of willpower starting to lose steam and to get depleted throughout the day. So just understanding that, recognizing it, and figuring out ways to both replenish your tank, but also figure out what tasks throughout that day that you need to complete that need the most willpower.
I never really looked at willpower as like a tank to be, you know, I just like it's something you have. I feel like most people look at that. You have a certain amount of willpower or you don't. And the best thing to do is to avoid situations. Like a perfect example is I do it too, but like the prototypical, like stereotypical, you go to the grocery store on an empty stomach, you buy way more food than you need and all this junk food. But if you go on a full stomach, you select healthier options and you don't buy as much. And I do that. If I go to the grocery store hungry, I'm buying those cookies, I'm buying those gummy bears, I'm buying all that because I'm hungry and you just don't have the willpower to not do it. So I think,
and you probably haven't formed the habit,
and that's part of it too. So yeah. a lot of these tie together. Yeah. But I think it's just interesting to look at it as understanding that willpower is not infinite. You can't always have it. So just prioritizing and having the discipline to do certain things at certain times of the day or avoid certain things because you know you're potentially not going to have infinite willpower. I think it's just a very cool way to look at it.
I agree, Samuel.
All right. Thank you, Lucas. All right. The next one is a balanced life. If you have not listened to the last episode, go ahead and do that. This is going to be a slight recap of that. That would be episode 131. But a balanced life is something that we talked about the entire episode. But the lie is trying to have balance in all areas of life equally. The truth is life satisfaction is often linked to focus on your priorities rather than trying to achieve balance. I did a quote on social media that I find that I thought was very interesting, paraphrased from the book, but everybody acts like balance is a noun, which is it's a place. Like you're going to get this place of balance. It's not a noun. It's an adjective. It's an action. You're always trying to balance. You're having to counterbalance this or focus on this. It's you're always moving to try to get some like level of balance or balance the right thing. If you think it's a destination where you're just going to sit somewhere and have perfect balance, that's not accurate. That's I don't know anybody that has like that. It's not a place. It's a destination of trying to achieve whatever balance you want to achieve.
It's not a beach in Florida.
It's not a beach in Florida.
Balance. Beach.
Even a 30A beach.
Right.
Did you buy that house?
No. I haven't had 1 second. Seriously. But, oh, that's what I was going to talk about. Like, willpower. Like, if I felt like I do right now.
That was the last section. You just remembered it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's fine.
Because remember I was, like, kind of slow. I was like, yes, Samuel.
I know. I thought you were just done.
But I just, you know, never mind. I just feel like I could conquer the world in this exact moment. And what if you don't feel like this all parts of the day, right?
No.
So, yeah, knock out a podcast while you feel like this, right?
Ooh, stop it.
Yeah.
All right. So, balanced life.
I don't have too much to add to that. We dug into it last episode really hard. So please go check that out. But that's really cool. I like your analogy with that. And yeah.
Why don't you introduce the last one there, big man?
Yeah.
Think you're just as big man on campus?
Well, that's one of the lies. Big is bad.
Oh, there you go. That's the last one.
Big is bad. So when I'm coming through the door, I'm not bad.
See, no,
I'm
you're
big,
not.
But I'm not bad.
Big
All right.
Freaking head.
So the lie is believing that setting big goals is overwhelming. The truth, ambitious long-term goals are more often more motivating and lead to greater achievements. Yeah, I think overwhelming, or people think it's too complicated and they can't accomplish it. I think this book has opened our eyes to being able to achieve bigger things, but understanding the steps that it takes along the way to get to that big end result, which, like, we're acting like there's an end result. There's really not. It's just continued growth and happiness and success and inspiration, the whole thing. That's all it is. That's the goal. Anyway, a little tangent there.
Whoa.
But people see this big thing out there and just don't know how to get there. And it's overwhelming when to think about that, when really think about the big thing, then think about the small steps each year that you need to get to, then each quarter that you need to do, and each month that you need to go through, then each week, then each day. And if you break it down to that one thing that you need to do each day and can kind of hit some small wins along the way, then it makes those big goals much less overwhelming and very easy to attain. And then also inspiration and motivation along the way, because you're having those small wins.
Yeah, I liken this a little bit to just a specific example. Like, so we have had, and we still do, a College of Rental Portfolio mentorship, right? So, like,
Corp.
We teach people how to buy rental properties without using any of their own money, like we have done. We have 1,400 students on over $20 million in real estate. Really incredible group mentorship. But I started to recently, like, start to think of it more as a community, and then also, like, bigger can be better, Lucas. Like, I never thought, like, my goal is to help people buy rentals. But what if our goal is to help create a community that helps Americans, like your average everyday American, become more financially independent through owning real estate? And, like, we still buy rentals, but we talk about wholesaling. We just create this community that if you get plugged into, you will be on the path to financial independence, financial freedom, and you'll have a ton of people out there helping you do it. Like, went from, like, helping a few people buy rentals to, like, helping America become more financially independent. That's a much bigger goal. I don't know that we're going to go down that path. We might, but that's just where my mind goes specifically with what we're going through right now. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I like that. I have another analogy that happened this morning, actually, very similar to that. It was a gentleman, a financial advisor from Edward Jones, that came in the office that wanted to figure out how to get his clients involved in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, obviously, we got, you know, Faster Freedom's where you learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got the houses, we got the deals, and we got the hard money too as well. So we got everything here. He's like, what percentage of their portfolio do you think should be real estate? I was like, honestly, we really don't get into that too much. I was like, but if you want real estate to be a percentage of that, we will teach you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just starting to think bigger and what they're, and maybe I think it goes directly with what you were saying. So
I always tell people, you know, diversification is great, but most people don't have the time or money to diversify much. So if you're going to focus on one thing, let it be real estate.
I care less about the percentage of allocation in a portfolio. I was like, invest in what you're good at and what you know and what you're an expert in is what I say.
Yeah, and like,
and then the percentages
and
don't matter.
And if you're not an expert in anything, you're trying to figure out what to invest in. Do I try to learn about the stock and the bond market? If I'm trying to, the real estate's the way to do it. And then I feel like other things will come later.
Yeah.
Cool. Those are the seven lies and truths. Six lies and truths. Where did seven come from?
You were thinking of Friends and Monica's.
Seven. Seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 6, 7. 4? Yeah. They're like, she's like, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. And they're like, and then she's like, 5, 6, 7. They're like, wait, where
is that?
There's
a 7? They're like, oh, yeah, there is a 7.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. 7, 7. All right, that's funny. Yeah. All right, we did the joke at the end, okay? All right, so riddle Lucas this.
Oh boy. I haven't even looked at these.
Yeah, good.
If I get 50% here.
You're not going to.
Okay, we'll see.
I'm not alive, but I can grow. I don't have lungs, but I need air. I don't have a mouth, but water kills me. What am I?
Balloon.
Water kills balloons?
Like a water balloon, and then it pops, and they die.
You're not alive, but you can grow?
Yeah, you blow it up.
It's fire, but yeah.
It's one of those that kind of makes
kind sense. Of, yeah. Well, this is like on its own. It doesn't, like, you don't have to physically blow it. I guess you have to light it, but they can light it on its own. So, yes, I don't know. Alive, we'll see how you do in the other ones. That wasn't horrible.
Yeah, that was great, I thought.
Okay.
All right. We have one like this every time.
The more you take... The more
you, like, were staring at the answer for a while, thinking about it. Like, is that right?
The more you take, the more you leave behind. What am I?
The more you take.
You're not getting this one. the more you leave behind.
The more you take. I don't know.
Footsteps.
Yeah. That's good.
Yep. All right. So, well, I haven't read these either, so we'll see if you're going to get this one. I am often run, or yeah, you might get this one. I am often running, but I am never tired. I have a bed, but never sleep. And I can have a bank, but don't hold money. What am I?
I was going to say a truck before that last one. A bank, but don't hold money. What type of other banks are there?
I'll give you a hint. You love this. You love these. A river. Okay. You like rivers? You like to fish? And
you're right, but I mean, I love a lot of things.
That's true. But
well,
like,
I like, I'm often run. Well, rivers are always running.
I mean, I guess if they go dry or something, but yeah.
You don't know if rivers get tired. They could. I have a bed, like a river bed, but never sleep.
And then river bank.
Bank is kind of the same thing, too. Yeah, you're right. Damn. Good work, guys.
So I'll give you one.
You stumped. The smart guy.
The smartest guy in the room just looks stupid.
Oh,
right.
Boom.
All right, Lucas.
Would you rather?
Would you rather? Why don't you do this one?
All right. So, newer segment, right? Mm-hmm. How many would you rathers have we done?
Just a couple. You and Drizzy Drake Rogers played this game a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
We played this game. So we're starting to do like, but we have like most nights we do a little family dinner. And Courtney got some of these cards that like you like ask questions like they're kind of interesting. Maisie reads them and we all answer them, but one of the sections is would you rather. I don't remember what they were, but go ahead. So just would you rather is a game we play outside of this.
Yeah. There is a note on here talking about the quick overview of Google search trends over the last week. We're not going to do that today though.
Nope.
So don't worry about that. We're just going to go straight to would you rather. Okay.
Yeah. We do our own thing. That's called an audible. Kenny Pickett audible to Pickens for the touchdown, bro.
Touchdowns. All right. So would you rather, Sam, have the ability to time travel to the past or the future, but you can only use it once. Would you rather go back or go forward? One time, let's say one day.
I would probably rather, I think we're opposite on this. I think I'd probably rather go back.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the future.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm gonna be in the future.
Good.
I'm going to be there. So yeah. Why do I need I want to go back. I want to see how
where would you go?
I don't know. Probably something to do something like the pyramids. Check that shit out. That was mid process.
So you would go like way back.
Yeah,
like before
that's why I'm saying yeah. Like I don't know if I want to know what the world's gonna look like in 500 years or 1,000 years. Might be kind of scary place.
I wouldn't go that far ahead.
How far ahead did you go?
50.
Bro, you're gonna be there.
I know.
Right. Disagree. Agree to disagree. Yeah. All right. Next one. Would you rather be able to speak and understand all language in the world or be a master of playing all musical instruments?
Mm, man, that is a good one.
I'm going music, bro, because I'm so bad at it. I'm bad at talking, too. I'm bad at so I'm bad at both of those things. But
to be able to communicate with anybody on the planet would be pretty powerful.
Would you rather communicate with anybody on the planet or be able to communicate with animals?
Animals.
Well, there's no animals would be more fun, but it'd be very productive to be able to communicate with people.
In like we're kind of like, you know, freaking Midwest of America, so
pretty boring. Yeah.
What would be powerful for us is Spanish, probably. Mm-hmm. Out of anything, but outside of that, like,
we don't need
not a whole bunch out there. So I'm gonna go. I'll go with the languages. I think that'd be pretty cool.
So opposite. Yeah, that would be cool. The instruments, just imagine being able to pick up something and play.
Would you just be like walking around the office?
What instrument is that?
I don't
guitar?
Know, a zither.
A zither? That was a zither?
Remember my dad gave me a zither?
I do remember. That was in college, right?
Yeah, he really wanted me to play that.
Gave you a zither.
I lost it.
You were like 21 years old. He's like, here's a zither, son.
T. York, do you know what a zither is? Yeah, it's like a harp, like an electric harp. And my dad
and you're not like you like to rap, but you're not like an instrument music. Like you don't play guitar, drums, nothing.
Nope.
Here's a fucking zither.
And he was like
Tim.
Serious about it too. Like,
oh, Timmy Walls.
Thank you, Dad, for the gift. I appreciate it. Very heartfelt.
I've never used it and lost it. All right, last one.
All right. Would you rather have the power of invisibility for a day, or be able to fly for a day, but you can't use either power for personal gain.
I'm flying, bro. That'd be fun.
Me too. Like, invisibility is almost like a little creepy in my way. Like what are you going to go spy on? Like,
yeah,
it's
weird.
You're
go to the women's bathroom?
Yeah, you freaking weirdo.
Watch, yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm flying for sure.
Yeah, flying would be so fun.
Yeah. I don't know how I would not use it for personal gain, because just being up there would be freaking cool.
I mean, personal, like, yeah, I don't, yeah, but if I don't
I wouldn't go, like, rob a bank if for invisibility, right?
That's better, yeah.
Or if I'm flying, I wouldn't, like, go steal something, or I guess that's what that means. I wouldn't do anything bad with it.
No, flying would be fun.
Yeah, flying would be so fun.
I've had a couple dreams in my life where I was flying, and it's just a cool thing.
Falling or flying?
Flying.
Have you ever had a falling dream?
Yeah.
Oh, those are scary.
Those are scary a little bit, but the flying ones are just, they're just fun.
You're just like, whoa!
Yeah, I'm taking huge, like, and I don't dream very often. I don't remember them if I do.
Yeah.
But I remember just, like, jumping, like, being really high in the air and then be like, oh, shit, this is going to hurt when it hit the ground. But it didn't because it was a dream.
So, would you have a particular flying pose when you're flying? Like, what do you look like when you're flying?
My dreams are so, like, they're so
like,
not
are you,
detailed.
Like, Superman it?
No,
like,
they're
two hands
so not
up?
Detailed.
Or are
I
you
don't
just
even,
like,
Yeah, more like just, like, jumping and just not, like, just, like.
Like Hulk.
Being, yeah. Maybe,
like just
yeah.
kind of jump flying.
Yeah, but I think I've flown before too. But it's not like there's no detail to my dreams ever.
Interesting.
Yeah. What about you? You're a little more detailed than
your
dreams. Yeah.
Mine are pretty vivid sometimes.
Yeah, that's what Courtney's are in.
Most of the time, pretty positive. But every once in a while, there's some weird ones.
Oh yeah, we talked about that one. We won't get into that.
Yeah, that fucked me up for like 3 days.
Have you talked to anybody else about that?
Kiko.
Okay. Yeah. What did he say?
Do you want to get in another fight? Is what he said. He's like, maybe you missed that part of you. Is what he said.
Well, that was you were a little deeper in that dream.
Right,
we'll get into that. All right. Motivational Moon Day. What do you got for him today, Walls? You're gonna pump him up. You were jacked the heck up earlier in this episode. Get that inner jacked up Walls going, man. You were ready to conquer the world like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
The caffeine really hits you that much away.
Yeah, we could kind of go maybe back to Kiko a little bit on what his message was in general. But to me, like, I don't live life like we have an infinite time here.
Mm-hmm.
I really try to be intentional about what I do and how I feel and what I think about. So, you know, I know one day that we're going to die. Mm-hmm. We're all going to die. And I think about how I want to feel in that moment right before I pass away. And I want to make sure I'm doing everything now to maximize our time on this life. And really that comes down, obviously accomplishments are cool, but just feeling good, you know, and being inspired and living life the right way and just being a good person and feeling good more days than feeling bad. So that's really all it is to me, Sam.
You got deep there, Walls.
I know, man. I don't know if that's motivational or not, but
made me sad.
I think
first.
If we think about that more often, though, you know, we'll be less scared of it, number one, so we're able to be more powerful now, and then, you know, we would just do cooler things, I think.
I think the two words I think when you said that are perspective, having a little bit of perspective, then having some intentionality with what you do. I saw some video the other day, and they're like, in, you know, 200 years, like everything you own, somebody else will own, or it'll be in the junk, like your house that you built, somebody else is going to live in it.
Yep.
Everything you own is going to be junked, or they're going to be a picture on a, it'll be like in a phone, but you'll be a couple pictures.
Yeah.
A few people will know your name, like, and it'll be just done. Like, I don't know my grandparents' dad or my grandparents' mom. Like, that's not that long ago. You don't even know who they are. I didn't know their names. I mean,
crazy.
That's interesting. So take advantage of the time you have now. How about that?
For sure.
All right, throw it in the trash.
All right, Bo.
Follow, subscribe, like, rate, buy my book, Own Your Freedom. Do it. Lucas is throwing his in now, and it is luck. That was luck.
Dude, that felt good the whole way. I thought it could be a little long, but
it was close long.
Back
right, so mine
back
just
in.
The miss is short. This is impossible. Can they see my angle, how bad my angle is? All right.
Can they see my angle? He's getting worked up about this. Nice shot, man.
Buckets.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.